listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Let us know your thoughts on training camp, and also, scale of 1 to 10, where are you at with the Browns quarterbacks after the first 4 days of camp, which I think overall pretty impressive for them. Our guy BR Cleve checks in on Twitter saying, what's the status health of Phil Taylor? Has he practiced yet? Does he have the fire in the belly to play a season? I think the fire in his belly is there. He knows that he's essentially playing for money going forward. He took his first, I believe yesterday, were his first team reps.
Yes, I agree. They were.
So, yes, so he is starting to practice. He is starting to mix in with this defensive line. So I want to talk about a couple things that stood out to me yesterday and got me pretty excited. Number one, and I got to talk to him afterwards and talk to secondary coach Jeff Hafley, which if you didn't see the Browns huddle yesterday, go to clevelandbrowns.com, Browns mobile app. I have a great one-on-one with Jeff Hafley, who I think is a star as not only a coach, but also he's good with the media. I think he gets it. The players like him. I think he's got a very bright future in this league, and I love that he's in charge of our secondary. So, but anyway, going back to that, Tremont Williams got a day off yesterday.
Yes.
Who started opposite Joe Hayden?
I believe it's your guy, Pierre Desir.
My guy, opposite Pierre Desir, who continues to get better. The coaches are raving about him. They are very happy with what he has done. They said no one has progressed more from the middle of last season to now. He's the most improved player on this roster. Played very physical yesterday. Looked very comfortable there. And Jeff Hafley telling me he just needs more reps. The more he plays, the better he gets. And he loves what he's gotten out of Pierre Desir.
He does. And you've said it all along. That's why you've been, you know, his biggest advocate. But what's very glaring,
like
though,
Paul Heyman.
what's very glaring is that he got the nod over Justin Gilbert. So, you know, a fourth-round pick, getting the nod over a first-round pick, probably because of the season he had last year, the professionalism that he brought both last year has through the offseason, as well as what he's done so far in training camp to earn that opportunity. Now, as I just said, Justin Gilbert just has to earn that opportunity. The next day, Tremont might have off or Joe might have off. It may be a rotation thing. We don't know that, but it's always better to be first than be second.
Yeah, and he went out of his way to say that Pierre Desir had earned it, and I went with Coach Hafley afterwards, and we're going to maybe hopefully put this up as a standalone video. Went through basically every quarterback, every wide receiver, and every defensive back with Coach Hafley with a one word, just throw the name and give me one word about him. And for example, some of the ones I remember, Joe Hayden, he said special. Tremont Williams, he said professional. Justin Gilbert, interestingly enough, he said athlete.
Okay.
Which is, I think, telling.
Very deserving.
In some ways. Yes, a great athlete, but not yet refined as a cornerback
correct
in the NFL.
What was his ears?
I thought he said focused or hardworking. I don't remember that one exactly.
Okay.
But Gilbert one, I remember him saying athlete. And for our guy Robert Nelson, he said unique. which I thought was
fit
a very fit perfectly. Yeah.
Good.
And what did he say? Dwayne Bowie, he said big. Terrell Pryor, real big.
It was
a lot of fun with Coach Half, and definitely go out of your way, check that out. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, and I want to get your observations on what you saw from him, so I'll start with that. Danny Shelton really getting a lot of first-team reps yesterday, and I thought his physicality was very much on display.
It definitely was, and as we talked about, and something that you pointed out, and we'll continue to point about after I talk about it, is the impact that he makes. First and foremost, it has to be substantial enough for him to get those first-team reps, because it's not like Phil Taylor is now semi-healthy, able to take those reps. John Hughes could also play on the nose, but Danny Shelton's getting those reps in front of him, which is encouraging to see as a Browns fan, because you used the 12th overall pick to select Danny Shelton. But the impact that he made, what I love is he already loves Cleveland. He already loves this fan base. He loves the game of football, dancing out, you know, pre-snap in his two-point stance. And then the impact that I made, and I was had the opportunity to stand next to Ray Farmer as, you know, you, Andy Baskin, and your guy, Gribbs, started the Dog Pound Report live from training camp yesterday. Just some observations, and I just said, and it was just a play that Danny Shelton, as I mentioned last week, garnered the attention of two offensive linemen. And then Ray Farmer kind of picked up right where when I paused, he just goes, everybody else has got a one-on-one. And that's exactly what I talked about. Kruger in a one-on-one, Dez Bryant in a one-on-one, Randy Starks in a one-on-one, Orchard, Solomon, Mingo in a one-on-one. That is all a defensive coordinator could hope for, is to get their guys, their playmakers, in a one-on-one situation, and you consistently bet on your guy to win that battle over 5 out of 10 times, over 50%.
Well, and schematically, and tell me if I'm wrong, but if Danny Shelton's going to occupy a center and a guard, okay, you can try to dictate which guard has to be with him,
sure,
right, based
by
on
the
where
stunt
he lines
or his alignment.
Up. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that means the rusher on the outside's one-on-one with the tackle, and
yep.
if you blitz off of that side, that means it's going to be on a running back most likely
Correct.
To pick it up, or a tight end to shift over and address that.
Correct.
So you can really – having that dominant guy in the middle opens a lot up for your defense.
No doubt. And if just a few, as you were speaking about Danny Shelton, I thought about other impactful nose tackles in the 3-4 defense. I had the opportunity, and he made, I think, 2 Pro Bowls during our time in San Diego, Jamal Williams. Took on the double team, you know, and I was the biggest cheerleader of it when I was starting behind him. I loved it because when you skate free and allows you to make plays, you know it's not because, oh, I'm so great. It's because everybody in front of you did their job. But you look at, why has Vince Wilfork been so great for so long? The guy lives in like a 3x3 yard box, occupying two guys to allow that Patriots defense to work. Casey Hampton with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's been great for so long. It's a testament to what they're trying to build. And I think the greatest thing is that this guy, we're going to have this guy for 4 or 5 years.
Have you ever seen anyone whose legs look as big as his?
One other person. And it was another Samoan gentleman. His name was Tonu Fanoti out of the University of Nebraska, who is the guy that I referenced reporting to camp at over 400 pounds as an offensive lineman.
Okay.
But, I mean, 6'6", 400 pounds.
Did he move like Shelton?
No.
I mean, Shelton, folks, is just an impressive sight when he gets it going. And there was one play in particular I talked about what really got me excited. So there were a couple where they tried to run a stretch play, and he basically just pushed Mac and a guard back and messed up the track for the running back, forced them to kind of bounce it, and they had nowhere to go. That's great. That's what you want to see. That's
yes.
staple. Now, there was another play where the quarterback was in shotgun, and they had him over. It almost like they set up a double A-gap blitz, but it was Shelton, and it was another D lineman. I want to say it was maybe Shelton and Armani. It was Shelton and somebody else. So we're standing up as though they were inside linebackers in the double A-gap on either side of Seymour, the center. From a two-point stance, he exploded and literally ran straight back and threw Seymour to the ground like a child, completely collapsed the pocket and blew the play up. But it was just an explosive, dominant type of a move from Danny Shelton that got me very excited. And you can just see that, yes, he can play three downs, because when you can collapse the pocket from the middle, that disrupts a lot of the very good quarterbacks in the NFL.
Oh, it does. To stop the run, for him to take two secures the run game, because then everybody else truly has one gap. And in some cases, if you're in an 8-man box, you get an extra hitter. So it's just a matter of that hitter finding that gap, which is a great thing. But from a pass rush standpoint, for him to take two, as I just mentioned a minute ago, to create one-on-ones. And then not only are you creating one-on-one situations, but when Jim O'Neill makes that perfect call and you get these guys so comfortable in this defense that they're able to show one thing and do another, as Tank Carter, you know, did. He was showing over on the left-hand side. Johnny turned the protection to the left. Then Tank ran back over. Johnny turned it back over to the right. Tank showed it again over to the left. Johnny turned it, but he was running out of time. So Tank came back to the right, comes off the edge, and comes completely clean. And would have hit Johnny in the back of the head. That's the situation that you can create by someone occupying two. You then have your playmakers moving around, roving around, and creating that one-on-one where you not only get them clean, but you get him on a linebacker, on a running back. Jim O'Neill would take his linebacking outside and inside guys on a running back 100 times out of 100.
100 times out of 100. And the other thing that when Danny Shelton, if he can take two guys and push a center and a guard one way, you have the stunt right up the middle or a linebacker blitz up the middle, it's going to come free.
It will play into – Jim O'Neill is going to create defensive plays off of how effective Danny Shelton is on getting internal pass rush pressure,
yep.
If that makes sense. There's probably some that, you know, you'd love to get certain pressure, but there's so – when you see, oh, you see how he did that? We can now do this, and he can do that. And just like just all the loops and the stunts that you can create by one guy getting so much pressure, because a lot of the reason coaches scrap those big scraping, looping stunts is because you have a guy that gets stalemated in that double team, and that he eventually gets blocked by one guy that guard can come off on that other outside looper or second blitzer wrapping off of Danny's, you know, behind. But when he garners that much attention and he's that active, he has to he gets the attention off the snap, but he gets it also throughout the snap as well, because if someone comes off, he's going to be right in the quarterback's lap.
Yeah, that was, to me, exciting, because he's got to be an impact player for this team, and he certainly looked like one. And you saw him in some of the one-on-ones. Just, he's got a lot of brute strength to him.
Oh, and he's excited. He loves the game of football, and you can see that at practice. And that's not easy for a 350-pounder to get. He's not only jumping up before the snap and then goes and penetrates, but he's also chasing the football down, which is what he's coached to do, and pursuing the football.
And he's making noise out there.
Yeah.
Which I like. And is that hard for a rookie to know when you can kind of do that? Because he's got some theatrics to him. I mean, he's obviously, when he makes big plays in real games, the crowd is going to go bananas.
Oh,
he's going to have some
it's great.
Dancing.
It fits this fan base.
It certainly does. It certainly does. I was very happy with what I saw from him. The other thing that stood out to me was in the pass pro drill. For the backs, Sean Drone can really pass protect. Isaiah Crowell was knocking people down like Marion Barber from that hard knocks.
I want
from
my
the
shot
Dallas
at
Cowboys. Crowell
in pass rush. Then
you want a shot at him
and one on one in routes.
You probably want a shot at T. West in pass pro. I don't think you wanted a Crow. Crow looked very
violent.
Crow.
Now,
you'll
good.
Take him on. I know you will.
Cares.
You're Matt.
Come
I'm
on.
Matt Wilhelm.
Give it. Bring
Dang.
It.
By the way, Matt and I were discussing Ronda Rousey, who is maybe one of the great. Is she in the discussion for the greatest athlete on the planet right now?
Female. Not both genders.
All right. Female. But you and I both said that I asked you how long you thought you would last in there with her, and you said 34 seconds.
34
and I gave
seconds.
Myself 10, yeah. And we both decided that it was based on
we did.
How long we could stay away
from
her.
How long
can
I stay away from her? Exactly. How long can I keep my distance? But then I'm going to back myself into the fence. And she's going to use it. She's going to be like a spider monkey on my back and choke me out or something.
Abusing. Yeah. She is unbelievable. Unbelievable. That was a lot of fun. That fight, because I got kind of sucked in with the hype videos, and this Brazilian girl was talking a good game.
But then again,
and then it was just like,
you're right.
Forget it.
You're absolutely right. But then again, think about it. And I just know this when I look at boxers. What, you know, how long could I go with Floyd Mayweather? It's how long could I not get hit? Because once I get my hands on him, I know how far I'd be able to throw 135 pounds. Like, you know, my son.
See, I think you could last longer with Mayweather, because I don't think he has the power.
No, right. He's not the athlete that Ronda Rousey is, because of the, you know, the MMA, the mixed martial arts, and the striking.
He can't submit you either. He has to knock you out.
That's. But I'm just saying, Ronda Rousey fights 135 pounds. Okay, she's giving up 110 pounds, and you're a man, so you have strength. So it's like once you grab her, I feel like I could just like squeeze until like, you know, her and stomach pops out of her. You know what I mean? Whatever. You know, I just feel like I could squeeze, you know, just like, I just feel like not let her choke me out.
I think she's going to break. She'd break our arms. She'd get us in that arm bar. She'd get us down and we'd be discombobulated. And the next thing you know, she'd float over and our arms
I'll
would be like
right
this
in
and then
face.
And be like, ah.
I don't know if I could punch her. If that ever happened, I don't think I could actually punch a woman in the face.
No.
Gloved or not gloved, right. Contracted, paid to do it or not. I couldn't punch a woman in the
it
face.
It is a Cleveland Browns daily ethos. You will not hit a woman.
No, I will not.
That's right. No, don't do it. Ronda Rousey's tough. I think I think that she would beat up the majority of dudes. There's no question.
Oh, no doubt.
I don't even think there's any doubt.
No.
Even at 135. But you remember back in the old days of Ultimate Fighting, you'd have those big guys and the Gracie brothers would come in and they are
bend them up like a pretzel.
Thin little guys who look, there's no way on the street you're betting on them. Then, yeah, it's bend them up like a pretzel, tap them out, good night, Irene, it's over. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from the owner of the Cleveland Browns, Jimmy Haslam, as he addressed the media following training camp over the weekend. That's coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.